Hey, remember to subscribe and follow my podcast so when I release a new episode, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. I am very active on there. Have a great day and enjoy the episode. So what really fascinates me still, even though I know all this and it happens all the time, is when you think about somebody or speak about somebody, they then come into your life a few days, hours later, like you just literally come across them. Like I haven't seen somebody since I was 21 and I was speaking about them yesterday, like 9 hours ago from now. And then I go to the shop this morning and they're in a car and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I've not seen this person for 7 years. I speak about them and they're there. And it always amazes me how the universe works, how every thought, everything we speak is a magnet. And people have no idea that what we think is literally attracting everything into our life, whether it's good or bad. And the power people would have if they knew this, they wouldn't speak about anyone they hate again. Like, people bitch about people. They wouldn't even bother because then they're just going to come back into their lives.
Yeah, it's so interesting how it works. And so many people don't know that we are all like energy and our thoughts are energy. And as soon as we think about something really strongly and when we even talk about it, it makes it even stronger, then we attract exactly that into our lives. That's called activating the reticular activating system. So let's say you would like to buy a new car and then you see it suddenly all over the place, like on the street, and people are talking about that particular car. That's because you're so focused on that. And our thoughts just have such strong energy. And it's crazy. So it's so important. I always tell my clients that they are aware of what they think and what they speak out into the universe, because you attract that, right?
When I was 21, when I had my major spiritual awakening, I wanted to get a car, and I was test driving cars. And I was seeing the same syllables of a number plate. So my initials are OGC. My birthday's 28. And I was seeing like OGC 28 on number plates all over the place. Wow. And I remember I test drove a Mini and I said to the person next to me, I said, holy shit. Like, I'm looking at a number plate. I've been seeing that everywhere. And at the same time, I was thinking of one person. And every single time I went to the shop, the casino, the petrol station, it was the name tag was of that person. And this one I suddenly became aware of, like, law of attraction. But it was, oh my God, my thoughts are literally making this come into my life. The more I focus on it, the more I see it. As you said, when you think about getting a new car, they're everywhere. And I'm like, well, if I wasn't thinking of getting a new car, is it there? Or is it now that I'm just more aware? And you're never going to know, because when you observe it, it changes. So it's like you don't actually know whether something's still going to be there if you're not focusing on it, because when you look at it, it changes anyway. So it's a very complex system in it.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's still there, but the funny thing is that once we're aware of what we want or what we think about, then the signs are there for us to take action on that, right? Because there's law of attraction, which means you have to think about something and then eventually it enters your life, but then you have to take action. That's how manifestation works, right? You have to go forward and get what you want. So the universe provides us with all these symbols or signs, and then we are like, we just have to go and get it.
And so many people, they want a black or white answer. It's like in life, it's marriage, kids, house, dog. It's that or you don't have any of that. And it's like nothing is just black and white. There is everything is gray. And then there's like thousands of different like spectrums of gray. And yet people live on a black and white thing. And it doesn't exist. It's simply man-made, like fairy tale and like Prince Charming and books growing up and films when we're younger. It's nonsense. It's somebody's imagination who wrote a book and a film at some point. And it's nonsense. And then people look for this type of lifestyle and it doesn't exist. Now you can create a lifestyle like that as much as you can, but when you have something, you always want more, and then when you get more, you lose what you had. So it's like, if I stand here, I want more, and if I go there to get what I think I want, I'm losing that. And there's no perfect balance. It's a continuous getting what you want now until someone else comes into your life, and then you get that. Like, everything just changes, nothing stays the same forever. And even now, reinforcements of every time I think I want something, it's not what I want, and then I change and then that's not what I want. And it's just the awareness of there is nothing that is permanent forever. everything is constantly changing. My thoughts are always changing. And when you really grasp that, nothing stays the same. It's okay to be impulsive, indecisive, not go through with something, or, you know, start dating and then not, or start a business and then not. It's like you got to start a business and make it go forever, because you're told that consistency is the secret to making things successful, which it is. Mm-hmm. But like, you're not supposed to have one job forever, like go to university and get one job forever. Everyone's changing. And as we evolve, our partners evolve. And if they don't evolve, then we come out of sync. So, yeah, it really is. It's interesting.
Yeah. And I think people also have to understand that we are constantly creating. And we can, like you said, always change our mind and create something new, because we are the creators of our lives, right? And every day, this can be something different that we want to create. And life is not a process of finding out who you are, or discovering who you are, what your passion is, or what your purpose is here on earth. You can create that. And every day you can decide new what you want to create, or what you want to have in your life.
I was in a deer park yesterday, like loads and loads of deers all over the place. And somebody I was with, I said to them, I'm going to go up to it and feed him. And they're like, you can't feed him, it won't come up to you. And I was like, okay, watch, right? So we're just walking around the deer park, and this massive deer with antlers, we had some nuts. And I just went up to him slowly, put my hand out, and he came up to me and I fed him. And then she stroked his head or whatever. And we're just feeding this like wild deer some nuts. And then he just buggered off. And that, to me, that's like amazing. Like, it's like a rare thing that never happens. Like, cows are easily, you can feed them easier, horses, but a deer is something really amazing about the power of like that massive deer. And I didn't even think the fact that he could just like bite my fingers off. I just literally had a nut in my finger, just trusted my feelings and just fed him. It was such a nibble, like a horse nibbling grass. And it was just like so soft. And I thought, shit, this massive thing could charge at me. And it just felt so in harmony. And that's also something else. People don't spend enough time around nature.
Oh, yeah, that's so true. And I think when you are in your energy and you're on the different, on that special vibration, animals can feel that. Like, you can recharge your energy in the woods, for example, and especially when you spend a lot of time with animals. And one day, because I enjoy diving, one day I went scuba diving and I thought to myself, today I really want to see these big manta rays that was in Indonesia. And I just set my mind up to that and I said, I'm going to see them today. And then suddenly underwater, I saw like 20 of these big manta rays. They were just flying above me through the water, and that was so incredible. So even their manifestation worked.
No, literally, like everything, it's not just like it's humans, it's everything. Like, let's just say a certain tree has a vibration and you want to see a lotus plant that you've not really seen before. That has a frequency and you will be guided somehow towards that tree. Like, you think, okay, well, I think of a friend, I'll see them. Yeah. But if you think of a stingray or whatever you call it, a manta ray, you think of a squirrel or a deer, you're going to attract it too. Like, often I'm on a walk and I can feel a squirrel looking at me over there, or whatever, like a fox or a cat. And I just look and he's like become aware of me. So I can pick up his awareness of me, like quantum physics, you know, when you're being observed. Well, that squirrel's looking at me. I can feel it. Those stingrays are guiding themselves by an instinct, a magnet. Yeah. And it's going towards feeling and frequency. So if you picked up a thought of, I want to see you, and you're a harmonious, high frequently charged energy, he's going to decide to swim north as opposed to south. And that's the difference between putting out a thought and attracting it and not. That's amazing.
Yeah. Also with like flowers, how you might sound weird to some people, but how you treat flowers or plants in general has an impact on them. Let's say you have some roses in your living room, and then when you might sound weird, but when you talk to them and send them love vibration, they last longer. It's really true. I tried it. It was an experiment. It's great that it works. And that is that's the proof that everything is vibing and energy.
Yeah, like every like human body, the cells will die and divide and create more a certain vibration. That's why if you're depressed, then you get disease, because the cells aren't, they're just not vibrating enough to like divide and, you know, fuck off and tread again. So when you're on a high vibration, it's churning up new stuff. I have a massive flower bed in the garden, planted the seeds, they're called California poppies. They're just like bright orange flowers. they have been blossoming for the last, like, say, 7-8 months. Every day I snip off the dead ones, I watered them, I look at them, I watch the bees and all the popping from one to the other. It's like there's a wasp, pop, 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 bee, hop, pop, pop. And then there's a so many types of bees and flies, and like, it's just amazing. And I'm like, can't wait to get up and see them open up, because in the morning they close up because it's cold, and then they open up and it's amazing. And they have lasted, and my dad was like, they haven't even died yet, they just keep budding. So when you care for something like a child, you are literally giving it life. And when you give up, when you, like, I always say people should have a plant before they get a dog, before they get a kid, because if you can't look after a plant, isn't it? You're not gonna look after a dog, and certainly not a kid. And if you do, like, look after a plant and like make it as part of your routine to love and nurture, you do feel like it is responding to you, because it's sort of flowering, it's getting green, and it really is amazing. Everything in life responds to that harmonious love. And you know, you think about Dr. Dolittle and Snow White, where she comes out and all the birds come up to her and all the animals. That's the only true thing about a fairy tale that does exist. All the other stuff about Prince Charming is nonsense. But you, like, on a high frequency, animals are like driven to their own vibration. So there's like negative charges over there, and there's a positively charged person. They don't know it's coming from a human. They just feel the energy. Before you know it, you've got a butterfly in your hand, a manta ray, whatever you said, literally swimming next to you, dolphins popping up. You know, they feel that charge. And it's phenomenal when you take everything away that this world is here. Like, that's the only real thing. None of this is real, but that energy world is real.
That's so true. And when you give energy to something or someone or like an animal, you get that back, vice versa. You get that love energy back from that animal, and no matter what form, or from plants, like you said before, in your garden. It gives you so much love, right? To just look at it and have it.
Yeah, people need to spend more time in nature, because, as you said, it balances up your, let's call it chi, right? Yep. We're all supposed to be vibrating at the frequency of nature, Earth's nature, 528, whatever it is, right? And people spend so much time indoors, around technology, around negative people in the office, and all they have got to do is go out for a walk in nature, and it really just changes everything. Like, it really resets your body. And I always try to make it a part of my routine to go on a walk at least like once, twice a day. And then I feel, when I don't go out, I feel the difference. And then I go out, like I went out this morning, like morning, it's blue sky, it's quite cold, but it's like nice cold, it's fresh. And then in the morning, the sun's always a lot more powerful than it is during the day. And it really sets you up for the day in a happy mindset. Otherwise, you're sort of laying in bed, you know what to do, and you're not in an energy to do new stuff. Like, inspiration comes from knowing how you'll feel when you do it, rather than, oh, I don't feel like, I can't be asked to get out of bed to go on a walk. But then when you go on a walk, you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did that.
I feel like so many people have difficulties to start meditation or start a healthy routine in their daily lives. So they find it hard to make a change, because they always think in their mind it has to be something big. Like, today I meditate for 2 hours and I get all these downloads and I feel connected with my soul. But that's not how it works. You just simply have to go step by step, like you said, go out in nature and or go for a hike, spend 1 hour with yourself in silence, and just listen to your soul, what your soul has to tell you, right? Because downloads or inspiration comes when everything is quiet around you in silence. That's how you get inspirational thoughts or ideas.
Yeah, people always have to be talking to somebody, always have to do something, texting somebody, speaking to somebody. Like, people are scared to be alone. And that's because when they are alone, they are finally in tune to their feelings, and people don't like to feel things. Whether it's good or bad, people don't like to feel things. It's like a foreign feeling, because they're so used to feeling this, that when they feel that, it's like, oh my God, this is weird. But that's just because they're not used to feeling it. So that's like, that is what they need to do. Stop spending time with foreign energies and vibrations, so they actually have time for themselves. And I know from like growing up, I was always scared to feel things until I realized that that is the issue. You just have to learn to feel things, and that becomes your default vibration, where that becomes home and everyone else's nonsense becomes foreign. So you flip it. But everyone instead these days doesn't want to focus on themselves, that they focus so much on everyone else. And now everyone's got anxiety, depression, and then they take tablets to trick themselves to believe in that they feel normal. And they're on it for so long that they forget why they were on it. And that's why I think tablets are so dangerous. Like, if it's the last resort, yes, but they're so dangerous, like steroids. Like, you're tricking your body into believing that you can walk fine, and yet you're fucking up your joint even more because you can't feel the pain.
Yeah, I think people are really afraid to feel things or open their heart because they could get hurt by someone. But what is important to know is that only when you open your heart, you can feel like that true love also for yourself, self-love. That's a big issue for so many people. But they're not ready for that, or not, they don't want to open up.
Tell me your most like powerful law of attraction story.
Actually, I was in a place where I didn't feel happy at all, and I didn't know how to change. That was like 3 years ago. And I had this picture on my Instagram feed of Bali, and I thought, wow, this would be great to just be there for a little while to recharge my energies. And I was working from Munich that time, and I didn't know how to do it, but I just went for it. So I booked a flight, and with that, everything changed in my life. So on that flight, I even got an upgrade because I was just thinking about that. And then I arrived in Bali, and everything I thought about, like, I have to find a flat. I found a flat the next day. And everything worked out so perfectly and aligned that I really experienced how powerful the law of attraction is. And that was the first time that I even got in touch with that law of attraction, or the universal laws. And from that on, I just kept learning. And now I'm doing that. I'm coaching people because for me, it was a mission, or it is a mission to spread that out into the world, so people understand they are the creator of their own lives, because it was such a big learning lesson for me.
Yeah. So like law of attraction, you have things to do and then you create it. But there's also the law of attraction in terms of the unknown, which is what you said, which is what is amazing about life. The unknown, where you book a ticket to Bali and you know you're going to find a place, you know you're going to, it's just, there's going to be near a train station and you're going to have a job nearby in a perfect pub who's got position opening up. It all falls into place. And if you try to like write a plan of, okay, I need to have a place near a pub, near a train station, you go through all these, hello, do you have, you got this? Nope, sorry. Then you fucking spend your whole life trying to book and make sure it's all like aligned up, that you wouldn't even get anywhere. But just jumping and knowing it will line up, that's amazing. And animals, when they migrate, they just trust their gut and they know where they're going and they end up there. So why are humans any different? And we're not. And when I moved to London for the first time, I decided a week before I was going to move out a week later. I packed my shit, told my mum she got out of the shower, I'm going to London. And then I just literally got a place just so I was in London. And then I found a place closer and closer. And then I switched like three times until I got into the central, got a job, you know, literally just... it just all fell into place. I just jumped and worked it out along the way. And as long as you know you shouldn't, as long as you've not got anything to lose, like you've got a child at home you need to go back to, or you have a sick mother or whatever, you literally can just jump and it will always be okay. But if you know you've got something to deal with, then it won't, because you're not in that flow. But literally, it's the most amazing thing. You just jump into the pool and work out how to swim. Like, that is exciting about life, just knowing it's going to happen. And then the perfect, someone comes up to you in the streets and says, I'm looking for somebody to work in a bar. And you're like, well, I'm looking for a bar job. And it's like law of attraction again. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. You just have to trust life, right? And then take action on that every day. And I think also what's important is to get out of your comfort zone. When you have a dream or you want to accomplish something and you draw it into your life through your thoughts and action, but then you really have to go and get it. Like you said, you just move. Even if the place isn't perfect in the first place, but you just have to do it. And then life guides you directly to where you want to be.
It's why networking is so powerful, because you might not need that person when you give them a business card, right? Ever. But they might know somebody who then recommends you. So that connection was not relevant, but through going out, you created another connection. So just by moving slightly, it opens up doors. That's why when people want stuff to happen, you have to move, because if you haven't got anything and you don't go and get anything, then you still got nothing. So you have to go out to get something. It's like you go to the shop to get some milk and then there's so much other food there. But if you didn't think to get the milk, then you wouldn't know about all this Coke and all the bread and all the other stuff in that shop. And yeah, people want to know it's there first. And it's like, no, it's not how it works. You've just got like trust that it's there. Might not be in the shop that you think it is in, but it's going to be there somehow.
Yeah. A few days ago, I went to a bookstore because I was looking for one particular book to buy for my friend's birthday. And I thought, this is exactly how life is, right? You don't just go to a place and see what's there, but you have something in your mind that you want to get. And then you will find it. It will be there. So this is the law of attraction. But when you're once you're there and you found your book, then so many new opportunities open up. And maybe when you're there already, you might change your thoughts or change your wishes that you have. And then you can pick from there. So like you said, just move step by step forward.
I need to get my charge for my laptop. One sec. Okay. It's about to die again. Right, sorry, continue.
No worries.
Right, what were we saying?
I just...
Oh, yeah, your book. You went to the bookstore to buy your friend a birthday present or whatever, book, whatever.
Yeah, so that's life. How life works. You have something in mind, you go and get it, and you trust that it will be there.
See, do not go like our grandparents' years. They didn't have TVs, phones, laptops, nothing. So their days consisted of just going out and doing something, and then when they were out, they get an idea to do something next time. So they go to, say, the zoo, and then there's somebody selling opera tickets, and so you get an opera ticket, and then you go to the opera next week, and then when you go to the opera, you meet somebody there who's got a cake sale, and then you go to the cake sale during the week, and before you know it, they're 60 years old. That's what life has always been like. But technology is good, but I do think that it is the major problem. Like, the solution is the problem. There was something on Netflix. You might have seen it. Zac Efron did a. Did you see it? Zac Efron traveled different places and.
Yeah, it's called Down to Earth.
Yeah, yeah, and he said the solution is the problem. So we're trying to do all this stuff to, like, you know, save the animals and shit like that, and plastic in the ocean. It's like the plastic bag is the problem. Like, just stop. You know, we try and fix everything and end up causing more problems, which is why I'm against medicine. Because you take a tablet, it fixes one thing, and you create another problem, and they need five other tablets for those problems, and now it's like 25 problems because it duplicates every single time. Yeah,
exactly. Me too. I'm not taking any medicine because I feel like we have the power to heal ourselves with our own energy. We just have to relearn how it works and trust that we're able to do that.
Like, something like, you know, coronavirus, it's a foreign bacteria that we probably would die without a flu jab. But the common flu, for example, we have our own immune system. It has the ability to fight something that's common and around. So I don't believe we should take jabs every year for, say, the common flu. If you allow your body to get used to it once, for example, then next year when the strains increase just a little bit, your body's going to be used to it. But something like the corona, like a random virus, say HIV or whatever, which is so foreign to our bodies, then I agree that because man's become so smart, we can create like a vaccine to stop that. But just taking tablets for everything is just so wrong. Like vitamin C, vitamin D at winter, because we all live indoors now, we don't migrate to where the sun is, we should take vitamin D, right? But taking it all the time, and vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, magnesium, like all this stuff, if our body needed that bad, it would create it. And then you get your body used to having all these like compounds in you that's tricking yourself into believing that I've got this, and then the minute you stop, it's like, well, I'm fucked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that either. I feel like your body is talking to it constantly, and whenever you feel like there's lack of something, you will know sooner or later, and then you have the power to change that. You don't have to take all the supplements for that.
What's your thoughts on people drawing on eyebrows, right? Because I look, I'm all about empowerment, right? And I'm like, you're a human being. Like, there's no such thing as a perfect eyebrow. I'm like, I heard there's a tattoo thing where people shave off their eyebrows and they tattoo eyebrows on. And I was like, are you having a laugh? So girls or whatever will shave off the eyebrow and tattoo an eyebrow on. I'm like, that is for life. That's not just like a lip filler. That's there for life. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm all about natural. So I don't like tattoos or anything, actually. Because like you said, you get what your body needs and it's naturally created in a perfect way. So you don't have to take it off and repaint it or do permanent makeup. I'm not a big fan of that. But I also have to say, people can make their own life choices. It's up to them. And I don't want to, yeah, tell people what to do.
So like humans are one of the only animals that don't create vitamin C, right? And I think it's because we had so much fruit as apes in the jungle, whatever, that our body got so much vitamin C that it stopped. But there's a long gap between, say, leaving the jungle to now, like thousands of years, that we haven't had vitamin C in us. So why do we need a company to give us vitamin C when we've survived that long without it, you know?
Yeah.
We're given something that you could say we had once or we should need. But in terms of evolution, if it was that bad, we would either die because we haven't got it or we're fine without it. So we don't need all this extra vitamin C, for example, because we're fine without it. As you said, we have what we need to live in life. And it's only when humans get involved trying to sell us some nonsense that there's problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all about selling. And we have all these devices that we use almost every minute in a day, and we believe that we have to get all that stuff. So the more time we spend on social media or on the internet, we believe that we're not perfect as we are, and we need all those materialistic things to make us happy, right?
Do you think, you know, Elon Musk has created this like brain chip thing?
Yeah.
Do you think that is it's going to cause so many problems, or it's actually a good thing? Because obviously we have telepathy already in us, and that's basically along the lines of telepathy. Yeah, like you put a chip in your ring, you can communicate. Do you think that this is really necessary, or this is like the end of the evolutionary cycle of like man doing something that nature already has to offer, like telepathy, little chip in your head, doing the same thing?
Yeah, I think it's a very controversial topic. I think I wouldn't use it. I wouldn't do it because, like you said, we already have it in us. We just have to rediscover or relearn how to use it because we got so disconnected from our body and our power. But on the other hand, technology and also spirituality go hand in hand. So if we don't develop and go further in evolution, we would just stop where we are now. We wouldn't develop anymore. It's very controversial.
What's your thoughts on water? So tap water as opposed to like bottled water? Because tap water is sewage water filtered and a load of shit put in it to make it clean, whereas bottled water is apparently comes from the mountains, which has all the magnesiums and all the other compounds in that we should be having. What's your thoughts on quality of water? Because that is a massive part of us. And again, we just drink out the tap. And I find that when I used to drink a lot of tap water, that I was still thirsty. And I tried to understand why. It's like I was having 2 liters a day, but I was still thirsty. And then when you understand that we drink not before the amount of fluid, but what's in it. Like, and I tried to understand, how does a fish live if he's not breathing, like the air? And then I realized it's the oxygen in the water. It's your cells getting the oxygen. When your cells don't have the oxygen, you feel the need to breathe. We get it through air. The fish gets it through the water. I started to understand that, but it's the oxygen in the water or the compounds in the water, not the amount of the water. So yeah, what's your thoughts on
I think we have to get all those minerals from the water. Let's say we drink fresh mountain water, we get those minerals, right? It doesn't have to be really purified. It's actually bad for us to drink purified water.
Yeah.
But when I used to live in big cities, I never drank tap water because I had the same experience. I didn't feel good when I drank the water. So I would always buy bottled water. But now I live in the mountains, like in the Alps, and we have a fountain, and I drink the water from the tap because it's clean but with minerals, so it's the best water that I can get. So I stopped buying bottled water. But yeah, you have to make sure that your water has enough minerals for your body to function well.
It's crazy how many people in this life have disease. And when we look at the way we're living and how nature is living, it's completely the opposite. So things like water, people do take it for granted, and people get so much disease because of simple stuff like lack of sleep, lack of pure water. Like, people are drinking Red Bulls and Cokes and coffees all the time. You can drink that, but your body, like a plant, needs water. You can't just feed your plant milk. It's not going to grow. It will grow with water. And I think that man is going to be extinct. Not when I say man, I mean like societies and civilizations as we know it will be completely like dissolved in the next, say, 150 years. It'll be like small tribes against small villages, little Germany, little England, little estate in America, trying to like all the humans, trying to share every human a bit of knowledge and help every human, feed every human. It's not possible. Like a big bang, it will blow, and all those boom, just start, like, it's just everywhere, and it just starts again. There's just no way it can continue. I don't think I'll be here, I don't think you'll be here, but you know, it's inevitable. And you know, people will say, like, technology years ago, people find like old technology, that's like, how do they have that then? Or like certain, like Stonehenge, how did it get on top? And we're thinking, well, we created tractors, say, 100 years ago. They didn't have tractors back then. And I'm like, well, if this cycle keeps repeating itself, we're just part of that cycle. Like people who say aliens in Mars, right? That's equivalent to Elon Musk right now, yeah? Wanting to leave the Earth to go on another planet. But thousands of years ago, human beings did the same thing. And then they went to Mars. And they look back at humans, like dumb humans, you know? And they fly a spaceship around, like, trying to influence them to do this. Well, it's just the same cycle happening again. If there is aliens up there, they're just like an evolved human like us. But, you know, I'm trying to say, like, years and years and years ago. So it's the same cycle. We get too smart. We don't like our planet. It's too populated. We go live in Mars. And then we look back on the next human generation, you know?
Yeah. It's a very interesting thought, yeah. But I think, especially now, you can see really a shift in people's minds, because people have to think differently. And for example, what you said about the water, people get back to nature and to their own soul connection. So they realize how important it is to drink clean water, to eat fresh food, to exercise, to keep your mindset healthy, to meditate. So many people have like an awakening at the moment because they notice that they can't go any further from where they are now. It's just too much. It's overwhelming. So I think there will be a division of people who think it could continue like that and people who really reconnect with their own soul.
So I think this has only really happened in the last, not even like 100 years. When you think about how we're all yearning and lost to this one thing, you go back to our grandparents' era and their grandparents and their grandparents, it was just kind of all the same. Like, there was really just, you know, you had a house, you had a fire, you had your meals, and then that was it. It's only recently that this massive awakening has happened at the same time where we're all trapped anyway. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, yeah. Years and years ago, even like 100 years ago, nobody was trapped in our minds like we were, because we didn't have any of this clutter everywhere. And so, yeah, everything goes back to nature. But I honestly think it's only in the last 100 years that all this has happened. You know, would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also a big chance for us to be trapped in that way, because now we have really the time to spend time with ourselves and to think about what we want to be, what we want to create. And for so many people, it's just too scary. So they find it hard, especially now, to spend time with themselves.
What do you think of people growing their own crops and vegetables in their garden? So I've got a vegetable patch, and I've got coriander, parsley, basil, chilies, potatoes, herbs. And all I did was get, like, you know, a potato had a root on it. Normally my mum would put it in the bin and I chopped off the root, put it in the soil, and no joke, there's like 30 potatoes, and we had roast dinner with them, right? And chilies, I got seeds from a chili that was just from another chili, tomato seeds from another tomato seed. Normally I'd buy like a seed bag of tomato seeds, right? But instead I just got a tomato, got it out, planted it, got a whole flipping tomato plant. What do you think of that?
I love that, because you really know where it comes from. You grow your own vegetables and you have that connection to nature, and you put it in the soil and then you get it back, right? You can put that food in your body. It's like a cycle, a healthy cycle. I love that.
It's like people bin so much food because they go to the shops, they buy it, and they say you can only buy like, say, 4 chilies, but you only need one. So you use one chili, it sits in the fridge, it goes moldy, and then you bin the 3. Whereas if you've every night watered that chili plant and planted it and watched it grow like a baby, yeah, you're not just going to want to bin it. You're going to want to give it to your neighbor, because you feel like you can't just bin something that you've made. Like you painted something, you don't want it, but you can't just bin it. At least give it away. If you've like watered your plant every night, seeing the potatoes grow from a sprout and it branches out, that's an exciting process. And you've got more care over waste. Like you only pick one chili rather than 5, because you can go in the garden and get a bit more if you need it. You go to the shops these days because of profit. You've got to buy 4 chilies when you only need 1, and everything's wasted. You don't see where it comes from. And it's a beautiful process of growing your own stuff, because you really feel like you've created something and you're eating it and you appreciate it and you enjoy it. Otherwise you're like, I'm finished, I can't be asked. You eat crap, you eat crisps and chocolate before meals, for example. And then if you don't eat your potatoes and your veg, which some man somewhere along the line has got a family, had to spend all day in the sun picking for you, you don't see all that shit. You think, oh, I just bin it because I've just had crisps. Mm. And yeah, we're losing touch of what life should be and always has been. And it's so simple, like just putting a basil plant on your windowsill, you know, rather than getting a bag from the shop and then binning half of it because you need a leaf. So you get a plant, you just pick one little leaf and then it keeps growing. My coriander plant has gone from this. It's fucking huge. I can't even believe how big it is. And that could feed the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, you really increase your awareness for the cycle of nature. Also with animals, like people go to the supermarket and buy meat, right? And they don't care if they bin it and throw it away if it's too much. But they don't really see what's behind all that. And the animal, if people really had to to go get the meat for themselves, they probably wouldn't do it. But because it's so easy to just go to the supermarket and get something that you need, people don't have that awareness.
Yeah, this is like, I don't eat much meat, but my diet is pretty much of like vegetarian, vegan style. So not for the belief, but like of what those foods are, like natural quality foods. And I was speaking the other day with somebody, would I be vegan if I saw the process of how you get milk, how you treat the cow? And it's like, I don't have an answer, because what you don't know can't harm you. And once you see something, you can't undo it. So it's tricky. Everything in life, like we've only evolved, I believe, because we've had, say, a lot of meat, a lot of protein. So we were stronger and we evolved. So you can't just stop eating meat, for example, because in terms of a species, we've only got to this point from all this, you know, rich meat and iron. So with every like solution, there's a problem, and every problem, there's a solution. It's like we need fruit and veg weren't doing it. And then man found caves and cooked food and then we evolved. Right. Yeah. But then if you start not eating all of that, then we're going to all have like not enough strength to live a lifestyle that we have to do. Go to the gym, go on walks, cook and clean for like 6 children and then take them to school. And, you know, so it's tricky because there's no right and wrong way. It's unique to that person. And that's where it comes down to like the small tribes, where there's going to be so many belief systems out there that there's just going to be like a vegan tribe. You know, just so many different small tribes.
Yeah.
And it all focus on one belief system and everyone's happy and everyone's trying to change each other's mind. Then you've got, you know.
Yeah. I think it's really important to educate yourself about what you put in your body or what you consume. So I'm fully vegan and I'm very, very happy. My body's great. I exercise every day. And I believe when you educate yourself and you know what's going on behind the scenes, for example, that's a mindset shift for yourself. You will never, ever consume these products again once you saw that. And And B, there are so many other ways to nourish your body. You don't have to eat meat for that. That's my opinion.
Yeah, so I'm on a keto diet, not religiously, but I have one meal every day at lunchtime. I fast till 12, and I have a meal that's full of fats and olives and seeds and nuts. And I used to think, you know, like a lot of gym people think that you need to have like steak to get your protein. And it's like there's just as much protein in a nut, in a Brazil nut, in a macadamia nut, that you don't need to do that. And again, it's just knowledge and education. If people knew that, they could literally have a handful of nuts and they get the same protein as a steak. They wouldn't do it, because even though you could say it's tasty, you do feel shit having to process all that animal muscle. Like, your body has to put energy into that digestive system. That's tiring. And I know when I used to eat a lot of meat growing up, not so much anymore, that you just feel tired, always digesting. Like, I call it, if you had to have a fight with a cow, who would win? The cow would win. It's bigger. So you digesting a cow, you know, the strength of the say the protein in a cow versus yourself, it's tiring. You know, it's not supposed to be in us. You could say like snakes and small birds and stuff like that, yeah, you could process better, but big animals like cows and like sheep and lamb and stuff like that, it's not natural. Hence why a lot of say people get like prostate cancer, because they eat a lot of meat. And you wouldn't put a piece of meat on a banana and left it on the side, all the juice from the meat and all the bacteria would erode that banana. It would erode the counter. If you put it on a piece of wood, it would erode it. So people just eat so much meat all the time, it's going through their digestive system and their colon or whatever. No wonder people get disease and cancer and say they're arse, because you're rotting dead flesh. It's not supposed to be in you. You know, a nice olive or a nice nut you just picked, it's healthy, it's life. It's got like a lifespan of say 2 weeks. But when you have the animal, it died like 3 weeks ago, and then you're eating it in yourself and it's still in yourself. Think about it. When you have meat, you might not know, but years ago you might. When you have meat, you get stuck in your teeth. If you don't floss within a day, that stinks. Yeah. And I think, wow, imagine that on a bigger level inside you. Jesus, that's going to be, and that's how people get disease. Not just that, but that's one of the reasons, just what you eat. You're just destroying yourself.
Yeah, I think animal meat doesn't belong in our bodies. And like you said, you have to eat something that gives you life, right? Life force, prana, chi, energy. So you have to eat fruits, nuts, vegetables, but not dead energy, which is from meat, like the cow that just died 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, like that.
Death in your body, you can't expect to get life force energy out of that.
Yeah, like that cow's energy aura, say, went into heaven a long time ago. There's no energy in there. It's just, it's nothing, right? So that's why a lot of people don't have much energy, because they're eating the wrong foods. But if you have like a fresh banana off a tree, or an apple or a strawberry, even just like some coriander, there's energy there. It's life. If you put it under a microscope, you'd see like the vibrational difference between, say, a bit of steak and a nut. And then you realize, wow, it's not just like the biology that gives us energy, like the nutrients, but it's the belief system, like, you know, mind over matter, that because I've eaten a nice alive apple, I'm going to have more energy, like placebo effect. It's so many factors to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Not to mention like the water and the nutrients from like fruit and veg.
Yeah. Did you know that you can even activate your water?
If you like putting a piece of paper, a positive picture, a note on a piece of paper of like a happy being, put the water on there, and you can put like a devil or something, or Satan, right? And put the water on there, and that water tastes different. On that, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, exactly. So you can really prime your water. There was an experiment by Dr. Emoto, and he said that when you charge your water with negative words, or you play heavy metal music, and you say to the water, you're ugly, I hate you, he froze this water and the crystals were really disrupted and really ugly. But then when he told the water, you're beautiful, I love you, just charge the water with positivity and love energy, the water crystals were extremely beautiful and it was amazing. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
You can really charge anything that you put in your body, may it be food or water or whatever, even your body itself.
That's one of the main reasons why religious people, they bless their food or they pray before food, because it's not just like thanking God. It's about putting out positive love and vibration into that food to charge it. So when it's in you, it's more in harmony with you. So you keep that digestion for longer. So let's just say you're an animal and you're not going to find food for 3 days, right? So you live off the fats in you. Well, if that's in harmony with you, you're going to keep it, right? If you have a load of shit food in you, your body's going to want to get rid of it. And you've not got any energy because you've got rid of the shitty food. So if you like bless your food and charge it, it's going to want to stay in you because it's more in harmony. Like the butterfly is going to come to you or me because of high vibrations. Whereas if you like, Mom, I hate these fucking carrots. I hate vegetables. Why can't we have like nuggets? That food's going to absorb all that negative vibration. And then you're going to be sick later. And it's so true. Like I used to be sick after just eating bad food, because you could say that when people say have negative connotations against, say, fast food like McDonald's, chicken nuggets picking up the vibration of everyone slagging off McDonald's. It's true. It is picking up the vibration of everyone slagging off McDonald's. Everything is vibration. And it's so powerful when you think about water crystals and how it's changed by thoughts. And then pretty much everything we eat is water. You can change like the structure of anything you eat and people, everything. It's just phenomenal. To the point where you can't be thinking about it all the time because it's just too overwhelming, like how powerful the mind is. And how you literally can think of, say, you've got a friend called Rebecca and you want her to ask you to go out for a dinner, right? And then you don't message her, but then you know she's going to message you in a week, say, hey, do you want to go out for dinner? And you feel like you're manipulating, like you're some kind of magician. Like, you know what I mean? And because they've asked you to go out, they pay for you, you know? And it's like, well, I knew if I put it out, she would. So it's like, how do you balance this, a gift of, whatever you want to call it, gift of God, right?
Yeah.
When others don't have the gift of God, but yeah.
No, I think it all comes down to awareness. When you're aware of your own power, you can actually educate yourself and learn how to use that power. You just have to be constantly mindful of your thoughts and your actions. That might be overwhelming, but it's a great gift, right?
What are you processing, learning on YouTube at the moment?
At the moment?
Something you're studying or like online, YouTube, watching, nurturing, whatever.
At the moment, I'm reading the book Conversations with God from Neil Donald Walsh. I'm not sure if you know that. But
yes, yeah, so somebody recommended me that book. So the first person I did a podcast with when I first started podcasting, we spoke about that book and I read a chapter in that book. He was like, you need to read it because it will, he knows I know a lot of it anyway, but he said it will do something to me or whatever. So maybe that's a sign to read that book.
Exactly.
Because I haven't actually read it. Anyway, what were you going to say about the book?
Yeah, so I'm listening to the audiobook right now and it's like 26 hours long because it's 5 big chapters. And it's truly amazing because I experienced that to a certain extent myself in my meditations. And listening to this conversation with God is really eye-opening and mind-opening. And there's so many invaluable teachings in that book that you can just listen to, let's say, 5 minutes every day. And only that little conversation gives you much more energy and gives you happiness. And it's amazing. I can recommend it to anybody who's slightly interested in spirituality or the connection to the universe, higher source, or whatever you want to call it or believe in.
Is that audiobook on YouTube or have you got to get it off like Amazon or something, or Audible?
Audible.
How much is it?
I don't know, because I collected the coins, so I just got it. I can't tell. I don't know.
Okay. Right. This is the perfect time to end this. Do you want to like plug anything, like what, websites, Instagram, whatever you're doing?
Yes. So my website is monateresa.com, but it's in German. But my Instagram page is fully in English, so people can understand it. And I also published my own book a few months ago, beginning of the year. It's called 5 Steps to the Desert of Your Mind. It's a meditation guide for people to learn step by step how to reconnect with themselves and become more silent. So finding a quiet place in your mind to really connect with yourself again. This is what I teach in that book, and it's been not complicated to read, but the reviews I got, they said it's very valuable. So
Right, I'm just going to end the podcast right there and I'll speak to you after.
Okay.
If you've enjoyed this episode, I have many more for you to listen to, so go back and have a look at the old ones. Also, make sure that you have subscribed and notifications are turned on so you know when I've released a new one. Follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. Have a great day.